P&E.
What's P&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
Put them together, B&E, with you. It is a busy Friday. Feeling good football, Bud Light football Friday. Appreciate you being there. Getting you into your weekend, which will include the divisional playoffs in the National Football League. Great games. Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Young gun quarterbacks. It's going to be a lot of fun. Good coaching. One seeds are back in the mix with the Packers and Chiefs after their week off. Hey, Buck, you know Aaron Rodgers maybe on his way to an MVP. I was reading this and listening to some. Do you know that Aaron Rodgers can recall and tell you about all 89 career interceptions he's thrown?
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, like, one of Aaron Rodgers' strengths, obviously, is talent, but he's also, you know, got a photographic memory and very, very smart. And he can recall and tell you about all 89 of his interceptions that he's thrown in his career, which the fact that he's only thrown 89 at this point of his career is pretty good. But, yeah, he can rattle them off. Oh, yeah. Missed that throw.
Is he getting back with Danica at any time? Is that that's never happening again?
No.
I see.
A-Rod is going to host Jeopardy, though. Did you see that? A-Rod is the other A-Rod. Aaron Rodgers, A-Rod, will be hosting.
That's cool.
Yeah, you know, the late, great Alex Trebek now, and they're going to do a series of guest hosts, and Aaron Rodgers will be one of them. And I think it's on, like, Celebrity Week, so that'll be pretty cool. Pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
He's a smart guy. You know what I'm saying? Smart dude. How about that? You can remember all of his interceptions. That's good. But that's part
that
of the
game
week.
That intrigues me. That's one of those games that I need to know the big number on that game, too, because if there's anyone that I'm picking the upset is, I'm believing in the Rams defense, a little bit here. If there were an upset, I wouldn't pick the Browns to be the upset. I would pick this game more so than I would the Browns because this defense is just that good. If your run game's not up to snuff against the Rams, then you've really got a problem, I believe. And as I said, Aaron Rodgers is great in third and four, but if he's left in that third and nine and all that with this kind of defense, could be tough. And Goff, obviously, if he plays, he has to play really, really well in order for them to win the game.
That is accurate. And, yeah, I mean, look, I can make a case. This is why why you shouldn't gamble on them, but you can make a case all the way through. I mean, I can, because I know a few weeks ago when I was buying the Rams stock before they lost to the dang Jets, I was thinking, man, I would pick them in a game head to head with the Packers just because of the way they run the ball and play defense. Well, I'm not as sold. The reason is that Jared Goff's, you know his thumb and throwing hand. It's going to be. I mean, there's a blizzard through the Midwest today, Buck. That they're going to be dealing with. It's supposed to snow today in Lambeau. It's not supposed to snow tomorrow for the game, but snow will be on the ground.
I forgot about that. I didn't even think. I forgot about the surgery and to go into cold weather.
Yeah.
And have that thing slammed one time.
Yeah.
You know?
And they don't have another quarterback. You know, the guy Wolford, who started last week, he's ruled out. So they don't really have a second quarterback if something goes wrong. I don't like the Rams there. I like the way the Rams play. I love Sean McVay. You know, I love the defense they play and Brandon Staley, the defensive coordinator. The Jalen Ramsey, Devontae Adams matchup is as good an individual matchup as there is this weekend with maybe the best receiver in the game against the best corner in the game. You'd have to favor the Packers there. I mean, I would go the other way with you. I think the Browns coming in red hot. Mm-hmm. And even though I had the Steelers as the lock last week, now the Browns have scored almost 50 points on the Steelers, and they go in. And I mean, the only thing that worries you about the Chiefs is they. You know, I know they don't care about covering spreads, but they're 0-7-1 last eight games against the number. They kind of fumbled their way into the postseason. But we talked to Dan Neal last hour, and he recalled that year in '98 with the Denver Broncos, where they were 14-0, and then lost two out of three into the playoffs. And you know, people were doubting them, and of course, they went on to win the Super Bowl. The Chiefs are still the best roster. They still have a great coaching staff. They have the best quarterback. I mean, it's hard to argue. But if there's a team that can slow them down, it's because again, here's the thing about the Browns. I think Buck, you got to score with the Chiefs, which I think the Browns can do, but you also have to keep the ball away from the Chiefs, and that's when you bring in that running game with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. Can they control the ball and score points? Because when you can run the ball like that, Buck, you score in the red zone. You don't kick as many field goals. You put the ball in the end zone. Because that's to me how you're going to beat the Chiefs is you got to score points, but you also have to control the ball and keep it away from them.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out which defense. is worse? Is it the Chiefs' defense or is it Green Bay's defense? I'm not excited about Green Bay's defense. But I haven't been excited about Green Bay's defense all year. I was expecting the Chiefs, after winning a Super Bowl, to do something different and to get even better, and they really haven't. They're just kind of. But once the playoffs come, remember last year during the playoffs how good they got all of a sudden? You were like, what happened to this group? They're really, really good. Maybe they turned that switch on. And I was just sent a message that let's not forget about Coach McVay, 37-0 when leading at halftime.
Well, they get that halftime lead, make a bet. That's when you need to bet.
There you go.
Wait till halftime.
There you go.
If the Rams are winning, bet on them.
Yeah, 37-0. There's one to go with.
And you also could run with Andy Reid off a bye, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
He's 25-6, I believe, in his career, off a bye week with an extra week to prepare. That's his win-loss, but his teams are typically ready to go.
And I'm pretty sure Patrick Mahomes, he does not want to go down in flames just giving up the MVP to Aaron Rodgers. I guarantee he's going to say, hey, listen, I'm still around. I'm going to be around for a while. He's liable to have one of those games.
Yeah, I'm expecting a big number from Patrick Mahomes. But that's why I think the Browns, can they control the ball enough and score? So this could be a shootout, but at the end of the day, it comes down to the last couple of possessions, and the Browns are there. If not, you could see Pat Mahomes and company run away from him. I mean, maybe the best game of the weekend will be the Buffalo game in hosting Baltimore. That's a phenomenal football game. The line's under a field goal. Two great young quarterbacks. Snow conditions or cold conditions in Buffalo for that game. Really excited to watch that one. So we'll preview these games, talk about them. Also coming up, we're going to go get some insights on some of these new Texas coaches with our buddy Craig Flowers. Colonel Craig Flowers, with his company Sideline Leadership, has worked with Jeff Banks and the new Texas secondary coach. We'll get some details on that real quick. But first, the headlines. Speaking of those Texas coaches, let's get you the latest. Top Gun, Lawn Equipment Rentals bring you the news. And here we go, Texas football. New Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian busy assembling his first coaching staff, and we knew that would be the case. Well, now the news dropped yesterday that Alabama assistant Jeff Banks is going to join the staff and be the special teams coordinator and coach tight ends. And it's a seven-figure deal to lure him away from Tuscaloosa. The 45-year-old spent the last three seasons at Alabama under Nick Saban. Previous four were in the same capacity at Texas A&M. He is considered one of the best special teams coaches in the country and has been one of the top recruiters, ace recruiter in the state of Texas, wherever he's been. He joins former Crimson Tide offensive line coach Kyle Flood on the Texas staff. And multiple reports this morning, Inside Texas and Horns 24/7 reporting that current Alabama defensive coordinator Pete Golding has emerged as the leading contender to be Sark's first defensive coordinator, but that's not been made official and still work to do there. We'll keep you posted, but Pete Golding, the name, could be another Alabama transfer to Texas. Other Texas football note, how about word that Texas junior running back Keonta Ingram has got his name in the NCAA's transfer portal. Junior from Carthage started six games for Texas last season. In the NFL, three, it looks like, of the league's six head coaching positions are going to be filled. Reports this morning that the Atlanta Falcons have offered their head coaching position to Arthur Smith, the 38-year-old offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans. He would be in to replace Dan Quinn, of course. One other filled job yesterday. We saw Jacksonville hire Urban Meyer, obviously making the big splash with the blockbuster, bringing Urban Meyer to the NFL for the first time on a very lucrative deal. Meanwhile, the New York Jets last night have hired Robert Saleh from the San Francisco 49ers, their defensive coordinator the last several years. Basketball last night, Irwin Center, Texas women get past Kansas, 79-72. They improved to 3-1 in Big 12 play. More on that game with Craig Way coming up in the Craig Way Report. Also in the NBA, Rockets rallied past the Spurs to win their first game since trading James Harden. Beat the Spurs 109-105. Christian Wood had 27 points and 15 rebounds.
Horn headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment.
Don't let the door hit you in the ass, 2020. Start 21 off right by renting or purchasing your equipment for home projects at Top Gun.
TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
All right, Friday on the Horn, B&E with you. We'll get back into those divisional playoff games. We'll do some basketball coming up. But, Buck, let's put it on the table for folks here. If you're looking at Steve Sarkisian's first staff, there's only a couple spots left at this point. Offensively, it's going to be Sark calling plays, right, with Kyle Flood as the offensive coordinator and offensive line coach. A.J. Milwee is coming as he was an analyst at Alabama. He's going to coach quarterbacks. So that's an Alabama triumvirate. And now Jeff Banks will come in and coach the special teams and the tight ends. Holdovers on the offensive staff, Andre Coleman at receivers, Stan Drayton at running back. So that's your five-man, five-person offensive staff under Steve Sarkisian. Defense, we know the name Bo Davis on defensive line. We know the name Blake Gideon in the secondary at some capacity. And the cornerbacks coach or secondary or passing game defensive coordinator is expected to be Terry Joseph, who's coming in from Notre Dame, where he spent the last three seasons. And only so the only spots remaining, Buck, on a 10-person staff would be defensive coordinator and then one other defensive assistant, which could be a second defensive line coach. And you know, we'll keep an eye on that. But it is interesting. You know, one of the names you've heard as that possible second defensive line coach is the guy Tosh Lupoi from the Atlanta Falcons, who has, you know, been a very successful college coach in his time and in his spot stops and is seen as another ace recruiter. But now word that, you know, we talked about Dan Quinn last week, the fired Atlanta coach who landed in Dallas as the Cowboys defensive coordinator, reports that he may be planning to hire Tosh Lupoi in Dallas to be his defensive line coach with the Cowboys. So it's almost like
that's interesting.
It's like Steve Sarkisian's jockeying with the Cowboys for assistance potentially as these things get filled. But that's the latest. So 8 of 10 seem to be in place, 2 to go. We'll keep an eye on the Pete Golding situation from Alabama. But obviously, you know, Pete Golding does have Texas ties. He was at UT San Antonio before getting to Alabama. He's coached the Nick Saban defense for each of the last three seasons and would be another piece. Chip Brown at Horns 24/7 reported this morning that Golding, Sark wants to make sure that, I mean, obviously Nick Saban not real happy that he's being rated on his staff right now. It is part of the business. But Chip's reporting is that Sark's waiting to make sure that Nick Saban can land the defensive coordinator replacement that he wants, a guy from the Georgia Bulldogs that would replace Golding before he hires Golding. But that's the report. That's what's out there. But it does look like Pete Golding is the front runner with Chris Ash still in the conversation and the defensive coordinator at Mississippi State.
Now, it was not Anthony Lynn out with the Chargers, the hobo there. He's a pretty good defensive coordinator, was he not? And coordinated that Chargers defense pretty good, right?
Yes, he did. He's a DNA.
That guy's available for a job. I mean, there's a guy who's been in the NFL. He's had a pretty good defense. It just hadn't worked as a head coach. He'll be looking for a gig. Maybe he wants to stay in the NFL. But I would think you'd have to look at a guy like that with that kind of experience, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like Dan Quinn. Does he want to stay in the NFL or does he want to jump into college? You know, he went to Texas Tech, Anthony Lynn. He's a Red Raider.
Wow.
He's from McKinney. But you know, it seems like Golding the guy, but I love that idea. Speaking of coaches, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline, talk to one of our favorites. You hear him on the High Ground every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 here on the Horn, but he also does a lot of work with coaches around the country, Sideline Leadership, his company. He is Colonel Craig Flowers. Craig, how are you, man? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Good morning, Buck. I hope recovery continues down the right path for you.
It is, Colonel. Thank you for asking me about that. I'm doing well. I'm clearing out the lungs. That's my deal right now. Let's get the lungs
get his
all
taste
cleared
back.
Out.
Gotta get his taste back, Colonel.
Enjoy those bagels, man.
Yeah, everything. Bagels, no cream cheese.
Yes. Exactly. Colonel, we wanted to have you on, say hi and Happy New Year, but also with your work in the past at Texas A&M and Notre Dame, you've crossed paths with a couple of these coaches that are coming on staff here at Texas, Terry Joseph at Notre Dame and at A&M, and Jeff Banks, who's joining the staff. Give us your thoughts on each.
Well, and not only that, I know Blake Gideon a little bit as well, particularly his father, and Blake and I spent a little time together. But on Banks and Joseph, you know, can you recruit, can you develop, and can you win? Recruit, develop, win. Both of these guys are extraordinary recruiters, developers of talent, and they win. They know their players. They care for their players. Therefore, they can challenge their players like no other. Terry Joseph will be a head coach one day. I listened to the show on my way home from Southwestern University last night, particularly the fourth hour from yesterday. And, Bucky, you're exactly right about Terry Joseph. There's a little more to him than just being a defensive backs coach. You recall as a coach, Bucky, and in my time, my 1 year as an assistant baseball coach up at West Point, is, you know, you deliver instructions and information to coaches in three arenas, in the classroom through film study, whiteboard, breaking down, practice, then hands-on walkthroughs, and then through individual study, knowing your playbook. For example, Ricky Williams, as you know, was not a film whiteboard guy. Get him out of the classroom. He was a walkthrough guy. And what I know about Banks and Joseph, Coach, is that they adapt to their players. and they recognize, and let's pick a player that perhaps Texas fans are familiar with in the state, is, you know, a defensive back at A&M, number 23, Armani Watts. Terry Joseph recognized very quickly that he was wasting time, one of a coach's most valuable resources, by spending time with Armani Watts in the classroom. He learned by doing. And so, you know, yes, he would spend a limited amount of time. You got to do that in the classroom through film study. But the best value for spending that time with Armani, kind of like with Ricky Williams, was on the field through walkthroughs. And, you know, Banks is the same way. I've been in their position group meetings. I've watched how they communicate with players, and they are great teachers, Bucky, that can recruit, develop, and win. And when I look at the trifecta here of Gideon, Banks, and Joseph, and sure to, you know, more to come, boy, I'm impressed. You're bringing in some great teachers who can recruit, develop, and win.
You know, Colonel, when I watched Terry coach over the last couple of years at Notre Dame, it's just, I watched the development of the safety that they had. They had two other corners a year ago, not the group this year, but a year ago, they had two outstanding cornerbacks. He was handcuffed a little bit. There was a kid, number 20. He was their team captain. And mm-hmm. the players must have loved this guy to make him captain. But he wasn't as good as a lot of other guys, but they trusted in him. They made him captain. He played in a lot of games. And I think Coach Joseph really had to – I know he probably wanted to remove that guy, put another guy in, but the trust in the team, he still survived. They still made it to the Final Four with that guy. But I know that in his mind, that's not my best player, but he's a team captain. I can't make this move right now. This kid's played for a couple years. But I watched him coach two other cornerbacks and that incredible safety, and I thought he did a fantastic job. So sometimes you have to, you know, you have to deal with certain things. And as you said, some people you don't want to lose that guy right there, number 20. Although everybody's going to pick on him, you just have to teach him the best you can. But you don't want to lose that guy. Even sometimes for the betterment of the team, you have to keep a guy on the field that you may not think is the best player on the field. You know?
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic, and a coach to be self-aware is extraordinarily important. And when I say self-aware, aware of their surroundings and building up that word that you used, which was trust. And I've watched players now under Joseph and under Banks, and they will run through a wall for those two coaches, which is, you know, part of Sark's presser that he talked about. The theme, of course, was authenticity. I also think it's worth mentioning that when you look at players that have been successful, Coach, you've talked about angles. No one understands angles more than baseball players. Look at Sark, baseball guy, Kyler Murray, Mahomes, Russell Williams, Elway, Tebow, Winston, Kenny Stabler, Marino, all baseball guys. And Terry Joseph is a baseball guy that played at high double A, somewhere, I think it was Northwestern, Northeastern, that where he played in college, played with the Chicago Cubs organization. And I've been on the field, in the classroom, and in the coaches' meetings with Terry Joseph and Jeff Banks and those guys. They are self-aware. They build extraordinary trust. They know their players. They can recruit, develop, and win. And listen, you know, I'm a horned frog, but I got to tell you, this staff that Sark is putting together now, when you add Gideon, Banks, and Joseph, you've got a recipe for some extraordinarily quick development and trust. And these guys are – I'm looking forward to talking to both Jeff and Terry probably in the next 24, 48 hours. I'm going to give them a couple days to get rid of their Alabama Notre Dame swag, but then I'm going to call them and you know, let them know I'm really excited that I hopefully will get to spend a little time with them, because they're great recruiters and developers of talent who, and they're going to win.
That's Craig Flowers from the High Ground every Saturday morning from 10 to 11, also Sideline Leadership and his leadership development systems that he's helped high school and college coaches all over America. Hey, Colonel, real quick, also in the Army, as you rose and worked human intelligence, one of your specialties, so reading people and trying to get a gauge, and I know you were pretty quick with me that you didn't think Tom Herman was was up to it, and you made that clear to me, and you'd had some behind the scenes dealings with Tom that came to be true. But what was your initial impression of Sark, who you don't know very well, but you like we did got to see him in his press conference on Tuesday?
Thought it was an outstanding job. Yes, as Bucky pointed out, there's obviously going to be some coach speak in there, but when you look at what the definition of leadership, at least for sideline leadership, it's authentic, relentless, and selfless service to a cause. And I listened to that press conference a couple times, and I thought Coach Sark did a great job. I thought he was probably one of the most real and to the point and meaningful pressers. I got a lot out of it. I can see beyond the coach speak, but I really liked what he had to say. And remember, your intentions don't matter, only your actions do. And I think he's a man of action who's bringing in guys like Gideon Banks and Joseph. And I know these guys, they're outstanding. I tell you that. I've spent the entire day yesterday at Southwestern University over in Georgetown. We started at 8:30 and went all the way till 6 p.m. and had a dinner with the AD over there, Glenn Schwab. But Coach Joe Austin is another, you know, at the D3 levels doing a great job. What's interesting, I'll report this here, is, you know, the D3 guys, they're still going to play a spring season. Their first game at Southwestern is February 6th.
Wow. That's awesome. So, we'll have to check in with Coach Austin. He's a friend of the show for sure. We've had him on many times, and exciting to hear that they didn't get to play in the fall, but they'll get to play in the spring. New things that we're learning. But, Craig, that's why we wanted you. We appreciate the insights, and we'll get more of those tomorrow, 10 to 11 on the High Ground with Jamie Frazier and all the crew there. So thanks for that, and I know our audience appreciates it. We certainly do.
Thank you, Colonel.
I appreciate it, guys. And Sark said something in his presser that stuck out to me besides authenticity, and that was, I'm going to know these players. That's the first step. Know, care, then challenge. We'll see you on the High Ground.
There you go. Thanks. That's something you preach, Buck, or you're, as a coach, and it's something you've said a long time. They don't know how much.
They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
There you go.
That basically is the way everybody is. When you start rambling around, and I think that's to tell the truth, that's probably one of the mistakes I've made when I talk about Stan Drayton, and you know, because I think I'm the greatest running back coach ever to coach the game. So
that's true.
That's the way I think. But the more I look at Stan Drayton, the more I just feel like that guy was totally handcuffed. He was. You don't forget coaching, and you don't coach and coach in the pros and coach the players that he's coached, and then all of a sudden not become a good coach and not know who the best runner is on the football field, which that means that, you know, I may have not been fair to him, but he had no control. He had no control on who he was putting in games. That's why he sounds so thrilled right now with Sark coming. Tom Herman didn't give him any leeway. Stan Drayton was not making all those calls. That was when it came to offense, Tom Herman was making all the calls for everybody.
Yeah, speculation
that can be seen now. Yeah,
yeah. Why Keontae Ingram starting? There's a lot of reasons, but I tend to agree with you. There's Craig Flowers, and we'll pick this up on the other side. As you gotta get to know your players first. No care than challenge, as Colonel Flowers says. We'll talk about that, and as Bucky has always said as well, it's important, those basic relationships with, I think, Coach Herman struggled with at pretty much every level. But when we come back, we'll pick those up. We'll pick the divisional games. We've got all the top stories plus salacious gossip and your blitz for the end of the hour, and appreciate Colonel Flowers. He's had intimate conversations and been around three of the new Texas coaches, and Jeff Banks, Terry Joseph, and Blake Gideon all being part of that first staff for Sark. We're coming back. B&E on the horn.
Now, the backups that we had on Ben White headed toward Lamar and Loop 360 and that interchange toward Mopac and the other direction as well were the problem was.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Busy Friday. It'll be a windy Friday, it looks like. About 9 o'clock, there's a wind advisory coming. So if you're headed out to play some golf today, whatever, be ready. Wind advisor between 9 and 5 today. High winds in the forecast with temperatures right around 60 degrees on this Friday. It's better than what's going on through 12 states in the Midwest and upper Midwest, Buck. Blizzard, winter storm coming, blizzard conditions for 12 states in the United States today. So, and one of those is Wisconsin, where the Green Bay Packers play tomorrow against the LA Rams. So it could be snow on the ground. It's supposed to be gone by the heavy snow by tomorrow, but blizzard today. 15 states, I should say, dealing with a blizzard warning. No thanks. We're going to get high winds
and
sunshine.
That's why that little snow we had the other day, enjoy that. But you don't want to see that for like weeks on end.
No, that was nice. Perfect. Sunday afternoon, snowballs, little snowman, whole bit, little sled riding. Good. Now move on. Now it's beautiful outside. We'll take that. Hey, Buck, so tonight, you know, good luck to Cedar Park Timberwolves and the Westlake Chaparrals playing for state championships this weekend. Tonight, Friday night, Craig Way will have the call on Fox Sports Southwest. Cedar Park playing Denton Ryan. Texas fans will tune into that game eagerly with, obviously, rooting for Cedar Park, but also Denton Ryan's star player is a kid named Jatavion Sanders, the wide receiver, two-way player, defensive player, number one recruit for the Longhorn class of 2021. He'll be playing tonight trying to win a state title. He's the guy, Buck, that goes up and catches balls one-handed, just like one-handed. Like we saw Jimmy Graham do for the Bears on Sunday. He does that routinely, just over top of high school guys. Just, here, let me catch this.
This kid 6'5 or something like that?
Big kid. Where most people think he's a defensive prospect at Texas because he's just such a superior athlete, and he's 6'5", and he's long and, you know, twitchy. But, you know, we'll have to check in with our buddy Jeff Howe about this, but more people are thinking maybe find an offensive spot for him, find a place and let him be a weapon, weaponize that guy. You've seen what Kyle Pitts, the kid at Florida, has done for the Florida offense. You know, just one of those guys that's just a kind of a matchup nightmare. But we'll see. Jatavion Sanders tonight, Denton Ryan. Denton Ryan also has the kid Billy Bowman, who had been a Texas commitment, who's going to Oklahoma now. He decommitted. He's going to OU. So you can watch those guys, plus root on Cedar Park. Tomorrow night, it's South Lake Carroll and Westlake for the 6A state championship on that side. And, of course, you know that's Riley Dodge against his dad, Todd Dodge. And that also features Cade Klubnik, the Westlake quarterback, and that really talented roster of Westlake Chaparrals versus Quinn Ewers, the South Lake Carroll quarterback, who's currently committed to Ohio State. But at one time,
soon
was committed to Texas.
To have his mind changed here.
You think so? Are you reporting that?
I'm just saying it. No names on any pieces of paper. So you're saying there's a chance.
Kind of like I think that there's a much better chance of Quinn Ewers flipping to Texas now that Steve Sarkisian's in place than you winning the Powerball or the Mega Millions tomorrow night.
Oh, man. Are you giving me any hope at all for this thing?
I'm rooting for you, Bob.
I gotta have some hope. I mean, even in my mind, I want to do some great things with that money and help out an awful lot of people. I want to play a lot of golf with that. I mean, it's always that weird thing. You don't want to just in a quiet mode say to God, hey, listen, I'm gonna do some wonderful things with this. I'm really gonna help a lot of people out that really need this, and you don't want to do that. You just don't want to do that. Those favors are special when you ask God for those kind of favors. A lot of people would say that you should be asking God for just the simple things. You shouldn't always ask for the big things like the yacht or the money. He's listening to everything, right? Or whoever it is listening to everything. So, okay, can I hit this lottery, God? Can I just do this one? I'm not asking for both of them. I'm really not.
I mean, you can pray for it, but I think why would he pick you over the 300 million other people who are praying for the same thing?
Because it's me. What do you mean, why? There shouldn't be any why. Why should he pick me?
That's a debate I have with my mother all the time. She's like, she'll be praying for the Astros to win. I'm like, Mom, God doesn't care. God's not an Astros fan, is he? I mean, it's her own prayer. That's good. I believe in prayer and
faith.
But
I'm thinking God's a me fan.
Yeah.
God's a me fan, right?
God's everybody's fan. He's an everyone's fan.
I got it. I got it, but sometimes you just got to go to that next level. It's this one's about me. Come on.
What about me?
I've been
I'm with you on that.
I've been trying this a long time. Yeah. I don't even want to count the money since I was 18.
When it comes to persistence, it's hard to top you when it comes to the lottery. You're 65. You've been going after it since you're 18. I think it might be time to reward you, so I might agree with that.
That's a good deal. See, that's what I want to hear right
that's
there.
That's what I want to hear.
It might be time to reward me now, yes.
Hey, how about Steve Sarkisian yesterday? We talked to Craig Flowers, very impressed with the new head coach. We talked to Dan Neal. Earlier, who was on that Zoom call with over 200 lifetime Longhorns and Letterman introducing themselves to I thought that was pretty interesting, the way you talked to Dan about that, Buck, your former player, and of course, a member of the Hall of Honor. Dan Neal described it as we were welcoming him to the program, which it's their program, right? It's they built it, they played the game, they built Texas into what it was. I saw Vance Bedford, the former Longhorn and former coach of Texas, was on that. Over 200 guys, 200 former players. But I said inviting them to join the program. Dan said, no, we're inviting him to be the steward of our program, and we're looking forward to helping him do so.
Right.
That's good communication right there.
Yeah, that's an interesting take, the way he said we're welcoming him into our folds. He's not, just because he's the head coach, it's not that he has to welcome us and the doors are open. No, the door's open to those guys for him, too, which is a great way to put it.
Yeah. All right, well, speaking of Steve Sarkisian, he was on Colin Cowherd's national TV there, that Fox Sports show, yesterday. He was also on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. He's doing the circuit. We're efforting, and we've been told we will get a conversation with Coach Sark here hopefully early next week, our first chance to talk to the new head coach. But in the conversation on the national front, he was asked something we've heard him talk about here locally. Buck, did you ever think you'd be a head coach again, the way the thing ended at USC? And, of course, Colin Cowherd is based in L.A., and obviously the USC situation, very top of mind on the West Coast. And here was Steve Sarkisian's answer when asked, did you think it would happen again, get back to the top and run your own program?
You know, when I got let go at USC, that was a tough time. You know, it was a tough time for me, my family, and clearly, there's some dark days there. And, you know, I had to get to a point to say, you know what, I'm not going to worry about if I'm ever going to be a head coach again. I'm just going to focus on being the best Steve Sarkisian today. I'm going to focus on being the best coach I can be today, the best mentor I can be today. And slowly but surely, it started to happen. You know, I became an analyst at Alabama in 2016. I went on to the Falcons and worked for Dan Quinn for 2 years as the offensive coordinator there, and then got back to Alabama for 2 more years. And in that time, over those 2 years at Alabama, the opportunities to become a head coach again really presented themselves. And I said no to a lot of them. I said no to all of them until this one came. And you don't say no to Texas. This was too good of an opportunity. And so I jumped at it, and here I am, but very grateful and thankful for all the people that were supportive of me throughout the last, 5.5 years or so to be able to get back to this point.
You know, when you go through addiction, it's not just about you that gets hurt. You hurt the people that are around you. And when he says that was totally embarrassing to his wife and his family, what happened at USC. That's an embarrassment. For you in addiction, it's a lot of times you think about, well, I got to get better. It's kind of me, and I'm the one who did this. But the people that are around you to get affected by your addiction is incredible. And the stuff that they have to go through with people and some of the shame that they feel is just as bad as what happens to you being the person yourself. So this wasn't just something that Steve did to him. This isn't something he just did to himself. Sark just didn't do that to himself. He did that to a lot of people around him. Maybe if he's got parents still alive or whatever during that time, and I'm pretty sure by then in his 30s he may have had his mom or dad around. That was embarrassing to them. That was embarrassing to his wife, to his kids, to his family. That hurts a lot of people around you. Not just the person that deals with the addiction, but there's some shame on a lot of other people. So this is a battle for his entire family that he's gotten back to this point.
Well, and, he ended up getting divorced from his first wife in the wake of that in 2015.
Yeah.
He has 3 children with his first wife. And as you say, that puts a strain on a lot of things. And, he's remarried. And, I've been told that his new wife is his rock. And she's been unbelievable for him in recovery. And, we'll get to learn more about that as we go. But you say it well. This text on the text line says those quotes are straight out of an AA meeting. It sounds like our texter has been through those, too. And good for him. So, there's Steve Sarkisian, and I think that the headline there for Texas fans will, you don't say no to Texas, was Steve Sarkisian's quote there, and now he is the head man at Texas, assembling a staff. We'll get the latest on that. We will also, Friday Blitz, here it comes, 447-3776. We'll sprinkle in a little salacious gossip ahead of it. You got to have that, but now it's your time to shine. It's only as good as you make it.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Oh, do we have some gossip today? It's brought to you by Bud Light on a Bud Light Football Friday, divisional playoff weekend. Hopefully you're stocked up and ready to go. Be safe and smart. Always make great decisions. An adult with your adult beverages, as we say, and encourage you to do. We'll do with an ice cold Bud Light or the Bud Light Seltzers, which are phenomenal. Bud Light Lime, whatever your flavor. Be smart, but enjoy the football and enjoy the weekend with the ice cold Bud lights. All right, Buck, so James Harden is now a Brooklyn Net. We know that. When is Kyrie Irving coming back? Who knows? Kevin Durant can't be happy about it all. Well, last night on TNT, on their award-winning broadcast, Ernie Johnson and Kenny the Jet and Charles Barkley. In addition to Charles Barkley making the claim that NBA players and NFL players should jump to the front of the line for the vaccine because they pay more taxes than the old people. I don't know that he was serious, but it was a funny point. And they pay more taxes. They should get to the front of the line so we don't have to worry about these NBA seasons being canceled. But we had Shaquille O'Neal weighing in on the James Harden trade and his thoughts on James being out of shape and forcing his way out of Houston. Here is Shaq last night.
Yes and no. One is the business of basketball. But, you know, when you say you gave the city your all, that ain't true. And I'm about to say some things, and keep in mind I have G14 classification to say these things. You asked for Dwight Howard, we gave him to you. Didn't work out. You asked for Chris Paul, we gave him to you. You asked for some shooters, we gave it to you. We asked for Westbrook, your homeboy from Little League, we gave him to you. Didn't work out. And when you say I gave you everything, I say no, you didn't, because the last five games when it comes to elimination, you're 1-4. You've been shooting 41%, 24% from three, 32 assists, and 27 turnovers. I used to be like James. I used to come home and complain, man, he didn't do it. And my father, rest in peace, Sergeant Philip Harris, used to say, but what the hell did you do? He ain't do nothing. He ain't step up when he was supposed to step up. So, you know, when you're the man and you make all the money, you make 30, 40 million a year, it's a big responsibility. Chuck has said this many times. When you're the man, you got a big responsibility. It's all on you. So when it comes time to show up, he ain't show up. So I know a lot of people in Houston glad he's gone. So now he got his little super team. He got to win this year. If he don't win this year, it's a bust, period.
Ouch. Can I vote for Shaq for president? Yeah, Shaq. I'd vote for Shaq for president.
Shaq is just saying that his dad told him when he wasn't doing anything. And then when Shaq got to L.A., Kobe had to tell him the same thing. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're coming here out of shape, so... Shaq has been there. He's got some experience with guys and a bunch of rings that don't give it their all. They talk a game, but they don't play it. Like I said, he's all flash. He's not substance. So we'll see how that works out.
I need to get Shaq to run for president. I think I'd vote for him. I like Shaq. Shaq's a dude. All right, Buck. Do you know the name Armie Hammer?
Yes.
He's an actor, blue-eyed, good-looking Hollywood actor, handsome dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's also the great-grandson of the petroleum magnate Armand Hammer back in the day. But so he was making a movie with J-Lo, some rom-com thing, and they had to cease production because there's controversy surrounding Armie Hammer. Like the name itself is not controversial enough. Whose name is Armie Hammer? But he apparently is a little bit... he's a little bit of a pervert, Buck, behind the scenes. Several former girlfriends are now tweeting out text messages that he sent to them, including one of his former flames, who he said to her, he wants to break my rib and barbecue it and eat it.
Oh, gee.
She said, well, blank, that was weird, but you never think about it again. He says, I want to take a bite out of you. I had a little cut on my hand. He says, can I suck the blood? That's about how weird it got. And more. This guy's in the news now. And they had to shut down production of the movie because it was becoming very, very controversial. Apparently, Armie Hammer, bit of a weirdo.
We're not allowed to have cannibals now? I mean, what's the deal? What, we just don't like anybody? Dude, maybe a cannibal.
Well, I mean,
come on.
Free country. I don't think it's illegal yet. But, you know, he's having a hard time finding and keeping a girlfriend, it appears, at this point. Because he's, you know, there's weird and then there's that. That's really weird.
Yeah, I wouldn't want a girlfriend as a cannibal, I don't think. No matter what.
Somebody said, is that Arlie Ermey? No, not Arlie Ermey from, you know, Full
not
Metal
the
Jacket.
Sarge.
Not the Sarge. Armie Hammer, the heartthrob. Hey, so how about this? Lady in the UK tweeted out a picture of a note that a neighbor left for her. And on the note, it's on the tweet, it says, can you quit screaming like a pig during relations? Neighbor's not kind of fed up with it. Oh man,
really?
Is that uncouth or couth? I mean, if you know, you are the neighbor, you do have rights or sound violations. She's like, how about screaming like a pig? He said to her, God.
Yeah, but that could be at all times of day or night. Yeah, that could be bothersome.
That's bothersome. She says it makes her want to be louder. I'm like, yo, come on, man. Be a good neighbor.
If you're squealing like a pig, how much louder can you get?
Ask Army Hammer. I don't know.
Wow.
He'd probably cut her up and eat it.
Man.
Barbecue them ribs. Or get a rack going.
I'm not near as weird as I think I am now.
No. That's right. People like Army Hammer make you feel very normal. That's good. It's great.
Yep.
It's
absolutely
a good thing. All right. So there's your salacious gossip. We've got Shaq, Charles Barkley, Army Hammer, and this crazy lady in the UK. Let's hit your blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Out of all your wittiness today, you guys need to win me some money this weekend because I can't do it for myself. First Blitzer, you're up.
Hello.
Hi.
Let's go to the next one.
Next Blitzer, you're up. And it's Tavo, it's Tavo, it's time for Tavo, 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 Tavo. What's up there?
Tataro y el Blanco. Happy Friday, Toro. Go cook some carne asada this weekend, Toro.
Toro, yeah.
Super excited for the Sark, dude. I haven't been to a game in over 5 years. I'm in line getting my tickets, Toro. Check this out, Toro. If you can't land the great Steven, thank you, Mac, then you go land the Sark, the OC. Orale, Sark!
Oh, have a great weekend, Tavo. Andale. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Buggy B.
What's happening?
It was me that gave Urban Meyer a clean bill of health to return to coaching. This is Dr. Orange Cocky.
Thank you, Doc.
Thank you, Doc. I'm pretty sure he needed that from you. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Dear God, please let me win the $750 million so I can fund Bucky's charities and give everybody at the station $1 million.
Thank you.
And date that hot little bunny in sales.
That doesn't work that way. I'm not asking dating bunnies. I'm going to help the people. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Dude, Tavo hasn't been to a game in 5 years because he's been across the border. But hey,
we can't give too many shots like that.
Blitzer is fine, but let's keep it above belt and not on the.
That's kind of good though.
Next Blitzer, you're up. Undertones.
Hey, Bucky.
Yes, sir.
Your wife and Steve's wife have something in common. You know what that is?
What is it?
Both built like pack mules. Y'all have a good weekend.
Would you call your wife the brick house?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be more like the brick house. My wife doesn't like me calling her pack mule. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, this is Steve. Sorry, Heineken. Yeah. Hey, Charlie Strong. The next time you bake a cake, can you make it a rum cake?
Oh, my God. I almost knocked this table off in here.
Listen,
everything almost just went on the floor.
You're the one in recovery here. Is alcoholism humor acceptable or what? I mean, I don't know where we're at on this.
But not in your name. It can't be Sark Heineken. No, you can't do that. No, he just got here. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, but
yes, sir.
This Texas Tech, tell me how my ass tastes.
Oh, geez, still living off of that game. We got another one to go yet. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Carol, congratulations on your state championship win. You know Daddy's going to let you win.
That's going to be a great game.
No. This is a great game. Riley and Todd Dodge. Mom says she'll be wearing a Westlake jersey and a Southlake Carroll hat at the game tonight.
Tomorrow night. Great job. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Pimpin'.
Big pimpin'. What's up?
Hey, BBD, how you guys doing? Does it feel good to actually have a coach that you think? Hey, my employees don't have to work hard, but hold on. Hey, get back on that corner. Man,
stop
Mrs.
it.
Herman
stop
never,
it, Big Pimpin'.
Mrs. Herman is lazy. Get on that corner.
Hey, stop it.
Would you?
Jeez.
Be nice.
Yes. Next Blitzer, you're up.
You can take all the disciples, but you still ain't got the goat.
Roll Tide. You ain't got the goat.
That's true.
Well,
no one does. Six championships in 12 years. Thank you.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Cedar Park football, Westlake football. Good luck, man. Get after them. Bring it home to Syntex.
Yeah, baby. Bring home that championship
ring.
That's a
great blitz right there.
Next blitzer, you're up.
TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. This Sir Heineken's for you.
That's awful. Next blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky, remember that day you were out in your front yard and you found that rooster out there and you were beating it with a stick? I met the guy that gave you and put that rooster there. I met him last night.
Oh, my God. Next blitzer, you're up.
Who are these friends of yours?
Hi, this is Lieutenant Johnson of the D.C. Police. I got a phone call from Chris Del Conte telling me that there was a one Thomas Herman sighted at the insurrection.
No.
He did not go there. My goodness. Next blitzer, you're up.
Jack, you're right on. Hey, Bucky, I got some money for you. Baker, money maker.
Money maker. I'm not going to do that. I'm not taking Baker, money maker, although that's quite tempting. Next blitzer, you're up.
Hey, you guys leave James Harden alone. I'm glad he's coming to Brooklyn. I have a buffet partner now. This is Chris Christie.
Oh, Chris Christie made an appearance on the Blitz. I love it.
God, you guys are on fire. Next blitzer, you're up.
Nets fan?
Yeah, this is Bill Kearney. Yeah, hey, leave Army Hammer alone. If he wants to eat it, let him eat it.
Oh,
shut it down! Oh, let's go home!
Thank you very much. Well, that...
I'm glad the kids are at school during this time.
I hope they are.
Yeah, really?
Hope the parents aren't listening either.
Right. I hope parents aren't listening. You're right. Love it.
Oh, man. Yeah, that whole Army Hammer story goes deeper than that, too, by the way. You do a whole show on that dude's...
I'm going to read up on that today.
Freakiness. Freak, man. Hey, we'll be back. When we do, we will continue the conversation on a Football Friday. Bud Light Football Friday. Bucky needs a lock and an upset coming off a 1-5 week. Who you got? Who's the lock Saturday or Sunday? Who's the upset? We need to know next on B&E.